Peter Thomas. I'm an epidemiologist with the CDC's Division of HIV/AIDS Prevention. To better implement HIV testing programs at historically black colleges and universities, or HBCUs, we use focus groups to assess African-American students' perception of risk for acquiring HIV, their willingness to be tested, and perceived barriers for testing on campus. Today's presentation will center on the implementation and findings from these focus groups that were conducted at HBCUs and is drawn from qualitative data collected as part of a larger demonstration project offering rapid testing at these same locations. In this presentation, I will highlight the importance and need for this type of work. I'll give a brief overview of the CDC's initiative that created several demonstration projects, including the Rapid HIV Testing in HBCU Settings Project, and then I'll discuss the focus groups that were conducted at the HBCUs and some of the findings from the focus groups that helped us to implement rapid testing data collection at these same colleges and universities. As you're likely aware, right now African Americans are disproportionately impacted by the AIDS epidemic, with nearly half of all new infections being African American, a group that really only accounts for about 13% of the population. And of the individuals who are under the age 25 and diagnosed with HIV, 61% of them actually are African American. In addition, although African Americans are more likely to be tested than other racial groups, one-third of African Americans still have never been tested, and two-thirds of them have not been tested within the past year. That's why in April of 2003, then, the CDC announced a new initiative called the Advancing HIV Prevention New Strategies for a Changing Epidemic Initiative, also called AHP. AHP was designed to put a greater emphasis on improving access to HIV testing by reducing barriers to early diagnosis of HIV infection and providing better preventive health services and care for those who are living with HIV. There were several reasons for this new initiative, including the understanding that we now have that of the more than 1 million persons in the U.S. who are infected with HIV, about 25% or 250,000 are unaware that they're infected. More importantly, we estimate these infections from this 25% group account for the majority, or about two-thirds of new infections per year. So this AHP initiative then seeks to help increase people's awareness of their HIV status to achieve an overall goal of reducing HIV transmission, and includes four main strategies. The most relevant strategy for the work I'm presenting today is implementing new models for diagnosing HIV infections outside of medical settings. This strategy led to the creation of the HBC Rapid Testing Demonstration Project. This project was initiated in 2004, September of 2004, and funded four different collaborators involving seven HBCUs. It's a two-year demonstration project developed to with a purpose of demonstrating new models for HIV testing among this population. And what we did is we asked the collaborators to try to propose testing that would be using alternative venues as well as creative strategies for encouraging persons in these communities, HBCU settings, to be tested. The four organizations that were selected to collaborate with CDC to conduct testing at HBCUs, at seven HBCUs, were the Albany State University, who partnered with Fort Valley State University in order to have a larger population of students, Howard University here in D.C., Jackson State University in Mississippi, and then Jefferson Comprehensive Care, who partnered with three different universities or colleges in Arkansas. The objective of the demonstration project was to demonstrate the feasibility and acceptability of conducting rapid testing among students and persons who were in the HBCU community, to increase knowledge of the HIV serostatus among individuals who were students at HBCUs or part of that HBCU community, and to improve the provision of prevention and care services for persons identified to be infected with HIV. As part of the demonstration project, we conducted focus groups at each of the sites to learn about barriers and facilitators to testing HBCU students. As well, findings from this qualitative assessment were then used to assist with the implementation of the larger project involving rapid testing and a survey component. Now, the remainder of this presentation is going to focus solely on the focus groups that were conducted. They were conducted in 2005. They were conducted in September of 2005, and were developed with the objectives in mind of of identifying barriers to conduct HIV testing in HBCUs, including students' perceptions of their risk for infection, acquiring HIV, their attitudes and beliefs about HIV, and institutional, social, and personal barriers to HIV testing. There we go. Sorry about that. We conducted two gender-specific focus groups at each of the four project sites that included eight total focus groups. African-American moderators of the same gender were matched to the gender of the focus groups. Sessions were 2 hours in duration, and they were audiotaped and then transcribed. Qualitative analysis identified themes and consensus statements according to gender, school, and project site, and overall agreement. Student participants were recruited from the seven participating HBCU campuses by project staff in many and different locations across each campus in an effort to identify and enroll diverse representation of students that match the general student population. With respect to such things as place of residence, extracurricular activities, year in school, and academic programs. So we were trying to get a focus group that had a diverse population and also included some participants who had unprotected sex within the last year and participants who had sex with more than one partner over the past year. In order to be considered for inclusion as a participant, prospective students had to report being sexually active within the past year and had to be known had to report being sexually active and not be known to be HIV positive. And so what happened was they recruited an unlimited number of individuals across campus and then looked at that list to choose to invite 15 individuals to participate in the focus group. When those 15 individuals arrived, then the 10 most diverse students who weren't roommates or didn't live together or on the same sports team were then asked to actually participate in the focus group. However, all 15 participants were given a $50 incentive. As you can see, all the groups all the groups had 10 males and 10 females, except for Arkansas, which only had 7 females. This column here represents the totals of the rows that go across. Overall, there was an even distribution then with respect to year in school, place of residence, and participation in extracurricular activities. Consistent with other research, we also found that many of the participants' attitudes and beliefs about their risk prevention didn't match their own behavior, although several of the participants at each site voiced their opinion about the importance of HIV testing and knowing one's status. Very few of the participants reported engaging in a regular pattern of HIV testing, and only about 2/3 of the students noted they had been tested. These sentiments were pervasive across all sites with no difference with respect to locations or gender. The findings are based then on the qualitative analysis of the transcript. While there were a handful of isolated perceptions, beliefs, and attitudes shared by the participants, there were quite a few remarks that were echoed by several persons at each site. In general, there was no remarkable difference in the information that was gathered with respect to gender or to schools. So the following findings then presented are themes that were identified as common to most, if not all, of the sites and were consistent, again, across the different sessions and groups. When participants were asked how they thought the risk of HIV infection on their campus compared to the risk on other similar campuses, they gave varied responses. Only the males at one particular school were largely in agreement that the risk on their campus was higher than at some other similar universities. However, some groups were consistently identified as being more major contributors to the risk of HIV infection on campus. Across all the sites, in nearly every session, freshman women in particular were characterized as being more promiscuous, more likely to have multiple sex partners, and engage in unprotected sex. Freshman female were repeatedly mentioned by both sexes and singled out by various participants as the ones engaging in high-risk behavior because of their immaturity or being targeted by upperclassmen. And here's a quote that represents that sentiment from the focus groups. (Clears Finally, the majority of participants in the male and female groups held the perception that there is a significant discrepancy in the male to female ratio on campus. According to enrollment statistics, however, the greatest difference of any school was really 2-1, not at the ratio that they perceived. Still, several students in each of the focus groups cited the ratio was 5-1, 8-1, or even 15-1 was mentioned. As a result, students suggested that females are more willing to have sex with a male who is known to have multiple partners, that they are less likely to require or ask their partners to wear a condom, and that they may be more tolerant of sharing a male who has multiple partners. Again, here's a quote of that. Overall, we found that the participants were knowledgeable about HIV/AIDS, and they showed they were well-informed about transmission and prevention. When they were asked how big of a concern is HIV/AIDS to you and how much of a concern do you think it is to students on campus, participants were overwhelmingly in agreement that it was a very important issue and it is very important to know your status. But participants also agreed that, in general, that most HBCU students are not concerned with HIV because they have other pressing issues like money, family, and school. Here's a quote again. That reflects that sentiment. When asked how they would respond to a roommate disclosing he or she was HIV positive, the majority of students reported that they would be uncomfortable and would probably try to change their living arrangements. There was some distinction made, however, between relatively new friends or acquaintances and old friends. A majority of students also agreed that they would not move in with someone they knew a priori who was HIV positive. There didn't appear to be any differences with respect to gender. This information. Again, here's another quote that reflects that sentiment. Another theme noted by participants at all the sites is the perception that HIV testing should be conducted once every 6 months. Every 6 months. Several participants referred to this time period as recommended frequency, although this is not CDC's actual recommendation for testing. Although students were in full agreement that being tested regularly was important, really one-third of the participants had never been tested in the group. Fear was overwhelmingly the greatest barrier to testing. Fear of telling their parents, fear of rejection by family or friends, fear about their reputation being perceived as promiscuous, fear of how life would change with a positive result. This includes the stigma that's associated with just being tested and the fear that people might perceive you as being high risk. Almost universally, the students tested tended to have a negative opinion of the student health services as well. Several mentioned concerns about confidentiality and privacy of these locations as a major barrier to getting tested for HIV. Participants voiced their concern about other students who work in the infirmary. Other students noted that just walking into infirmary can cause people to talk about how you might be high risk. Students also cited previous bad experiences with the infirmary, and many reported a perception that there is a lower standard of care. There were a few differences in barriers to testing by gender, but students living off campus tended to be much less aware of HIV testing services offered at the clinics. And participants recruited from the HBCU, where the testing project was conducted solely outside of the clinic, really had the least recognition that there was HIV testing going on campus. Here then are a couple of quotes that reflect that sentiment, or those sentiments. Finally, we took time to ask questions about ways and methods that they thought would be effective for getting other students to agree to be tested. A majority of students suggested holding a large event such as a block party or a concert with a musical group, a step show or a talent show, or a basketball sports tournament. Getting an HIV test then would be the price of admission, or could be and could be offered confidentially adjacent to the event. Other important elements that they suggested would be free food and t-shirts and prizes. Many students also felt it would be critical to get the participation of fraternities and Greeks on board. Other suggestions were to have all students enrolled in a raffle for such a thing as like a trip to Cancun. And then there was a suggestion to have a competition among HBCUs where those who had the most students who were tested would win, you know, some big concert or a prize. Here's a reflection then of the comment that reflects that sentiment. Findings then from this focus group were used to modify the larger demonstration project. In order to make testing more feasible and more accessible on HBCU campuses, these projects use innovative testing strategies and creative messages to increase people's likelihood of being tested. And here are a couple of pictures then of kind of the ideas. This is testing outside of a clinic at one of the universities and how they attracted individuals. Here's an example of a testing event with fraternities and sororities involved, and the students basically got tested the week previously, and then once they had their t-shirt, they could get into the party for free. This is the testing individuals who were part of the project from the various schools. I'd like to thank them all very much. Thank you.